All right, man, you ready to go?
Welcome to Race Time Radio. You'll hear from the best in Canadian U.S. racing this week. Grab a cold one and stick around.
All right, you're good. They've got a car in the wall in three.
The starter tower has signaled. We're ready to roll. It's Race Time Radio, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Chisholm.
And good evening, one and all. Welcome to Race Time Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, right here in the RTR studio, and have we got a dynamite lineup for you here tonight. Tonight, it's all about the voices at the short tracks. Of course, we've got a ton of talented race announcers coast to coast here in the country. Can't fit them all into a two-hour program, but we have some really, really good guests for you here tonight. These men are responsible for really turning each one of us into a race fan. Think back to the first day you went to a speedway here in Canada or down in the U.S. You went in with an open slate, right? Open mind. You weren't a race fan yet. It was your first race that you had ever gone to. And the first voice you would have heard was the track announcer, with the information that, they're passing it on to you and educating people all the way through. And that's what the show is all about here tonight. Did a Facebook post, a couple months ago, and asked for input from race fans. Tell us who your favorite announcer is, either from yesterday or today. And the response was overwhelming. What we did was we took that post and reached through and tried to connect ourselves with some of the best race announcers right across the country. And let me tell you who we got on the show tonight. It is my pleasure to have in studio with us a guy that has been announcing at a short track here in Ontario, Sauble Speedway to be specific. Good friend of Race Time Radio and a personal good friend of mine. It's Jim Irvin. He joins us here tonight. What's going on, Jimmy? How are you?
Great to be here, Joe. Wow. Yeah, it's hard to believe. Been doing this job for close to 39 years.
Incredible.
And you know what? I'm a fan first, and I think that's what's kept me in the sport.
Isn't that amazing? Jim, can you remember the first race you went to? As a guy going to a race that had never been to a race, and can you remember who the announcer was?
The first race I ever went to was at Varney Speedway, mm-hmm. and I think it was Laverne Fogel who was the announcer, and Ron Kirby was his assistant, and I think that's back about 1972.
Wow.
Yeah, and the car that night that they had a 50-lapper, I believe, that night, Ken McElroy.
Oh, I remember
the orange and white Mustang, just that car I can remember to this day.
Yeah. Do you remember who won that night? Was it Kent?
Oh, I can't remember that back that far. I was just amazed about all the cars out there for this big race. And it was fantastic. And the next, I was amazed, and I think the time that shortly after. I went down to Flamborough Speedway with the Shaws, and there were 60 hobby cars that night.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe it. That just stuck in my mind. And to hear the announcer and, just great. And I always wanted to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look at 39 years later, you're not only doing it, but Jim Irvin, you have educated a pile of race fans. I bet it would number in the hundreds of thousands by now.
Well, yeah, I think it's important. When you come in at the beach, the crowd turns over every 10 days, and you have to tell the people what's going on. They come in to the track, probably the vast majority of those people have never seen a race.
So,
we were talking about it earlier, it's our job to tell them what's going on and make it an enjoyable evening that they'll want to come back.
Yeah, well, and you did it. I know you did it with me and so many of these announcers that we're going to have on the show tonight. are responsible for making guys like me and turning us into race fans. Let me tell you who else we have on the show. Coming up in just mere moments, a guy that was really responsible at Flamborough Speedway back in the day, Jerry Paxton. Of course, we all know Jerry. He's our turned one and two announcer when we do a live broadcast, and we've done a few of those, I would say, over the course of time. And Jerry Paxton is going to join us tonight. I think back, Jim, it was a long time ago, but I would go to Flamborough Speedway. I'd be up here at the cottage back then, up in the Owen Sound area. Sue and I would go to the races on Saturday night and enjoy the night of racing at the beach. We'd come home, or back to the cottage, and very rarely did I ever want to leave the cottage early, but it so happens this one night, I said, okay, tomorrow morning, soon as we get up, we got to get packed up, and we got to go. Sue said, have you hit your head? Like, how come we're leaving the cottage so early? And I had to make it back to the Crawlinator Triple 50s at Flamborough Speedway. And Jerry Paxton was the announcer back then. And Jerry would, it was something about the way he did that starting lineup. And, you know, he had the guy's hometown, so now I know where the guy is from. And he would give you a brief little bit of history, the car number, of course. And it would just send goosebumps up my arms getting ready for the race.
Well, I had the pleasure of working with Jerry for a number of years as well. And great person, great voice for racing.
Yeah.
And a lot of knowledge. I know his brother's in the sport and building cars, and his nephew races. Jerry was great. And I think back working with Jerry, and I think at Sauber, we were actually ahead of our time. We actually had a television show that aired twice a week called Sauber Speed Week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Jerry and I, along with Steve Young at CKNX, did that show for 2.5 years. And we might have still been going, but the station got sold.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was over about 3/4 of the way through that last season. But, you know, we had fun doing it. And I think back of those days. And, you know, at that time, there wasn't many racing shows on television.
No. Just about unheard of back in those days. And I can remember 94 is when I bought Sauber Speedway. And, of course, Jim Irvin was my lead announcer. Wanted to add someone in there to work with Jim. And that's where Dave Middleton came into the mix. And, man, what a talented guy, Dave Middleton. Oh. The two of you guys, man, it was just an incredible night listening to the two.
And we still work together, and we feed off each other.
Yeah,
you know, I'm kind of the straight, serious guy, and Dave can get in there and make things fun.
So. Oh yeah, he can ham it up big time. But I can remember I wanted to get one of our races. I wanted to get our guys some television time. So I went to CKNX back in the day. It was Baton Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with Paul, the sales rep. I said, look, I want to do a race. And I want to put it on TV. I know it's not going to be live, but we'll tape, delay it, whatever. And we did. It was a Father's Day 100. I want to say, I think it was the Domino's Dominator 100.
I believe so. And I know Andy Schmidt was the winner.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right. And what my vision was, I wanted to have Jim Irvin, guaranteed. I wanted to have Dave Middleton in there. And I definitely had to have Jerry Paxton. The three of you guys, the chemistry, unbelievable. It was something that, to me, that was better than NASCAR, having the three of you guys do what you do.
It was fun, and it was a great show. We actually, as I recall, we did that from the other tower, the spectator tower, or the sponsor tower, and it was beautiful over there. and we had the booth set up, and just fantastic. And it was a great show. It was, you know, we did prep work on the Saturday and did the main race on the Sunday, just a May 2/4 weekend, opening weekend, and Wow, we opened it with a bang.
Yeah, we sure did. Incredible. So, Jerry Paxton is going to join us here shortly. We will get off to the east coast of Canada. We're going to start out there. And, of course, the voice of the Maritimes has got to be Tim Terry. Tim's Corner Motorsports. Tim has been in this a long time. He's announced that every single racetrack in the Maritimes, all the way out to Newfoundland and all points in between. Tim is a wealth of knowledge, great broadcaster, great announcer, and Tim is going to join the show tonight. Another name that popped up in that Facebook post was Jesse Thompson. Jesse's got a lot of fans out there that love hearing him at Speedway 660. So we reached in and I got a hold of Jesse. Now, Jesse can't be with us live tonight. So I did record a piece with him. We're going to hear that tonight on the show. How about Ron Sinclair? You remember that name, the Cascar days. It was Canada's national tour. Tony Novotny did an amazing job at Delaware Speedway and building. What we see today is the NASCAR Pindy Series. That was Cascar back in the day. And our national brand, it was Ron Sinclair, the lead broadcaster for all of that. And from a national side, it doesn't get much better than Ron Sinclair.
Well, he did a fantastic job. I know I worked with him one night when Cascar came to Sauble. Just a very professional person. And not only did he do Cascar, he did OHL hockey. Did the London Knights and the Kingston Frontenacs.
Yeah.
Just a great person and very well respected and a member of the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame.
And rightfully so. Look forward to catching up with Ron here tonight on the show. He's going to drop in live. As well, we're going to hear from Adam Ross. Of course, Adam, he's everywhere throughout the course of the summer. He is the lead broadcaster on all of our NASCAR Pinties, NASCAR Canada branding now, but the NASCAR Pinty Series, right back to the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series when it all started here in Canada. Adam Ross, you see him at the Big O. He's at tons of racetracks with G-Force. He and Clinton Jeffrey. Figured we had Clinton on here last week with an interview from Motorama. I wanted to get a hold of Adam and bring him onto the show.
And Adam is a great announcer. Had the pleasure of working with him a few times. And he is a very professional person. And, of course, he and Clinton do their race chat every Tuesday evening. So
they sure do. Yeah, yeah. Race Rivals.
And
race
it's rivals. Just a great show.
It sure is. And we're going to cap the night off on the west coast of Canada. We got Rocky coming up this show. Rocky Horn is a big announcer out on Canada's west coast. He would work alongside Cole Sorensen, but we got Rocky on the show tonight. Looking forward to meeting Rock.
Should be good to get the west coast perspective. And, you know, we have a national show here, Joe. We're going to hear from some great people.
Yeah, we sure are. I've got a list, 2-3 pages long of announcers we could pull onto the show. We just quite simply haven't got enough time to fit everybody in, but I'm sure you're going to enjoy the guests that we do have lined up. What do you say we get that first guest lined up? Should we welcome in Jerry Paxton?
Be great to hear from Jerry.
Let's bring him in. What's going on there, Jerry? How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe, as always. You know what? Just the warm weather keeps up. Let's go racing. What are we waiting for June and July?
I hear you. Well, you haven't got the pool ready to go yet, so you can't go racing yet. Sylvia wouldn't let you out the door.
That's true. And the pool's got to be open before we can start the season.
39 Otherwise, years. 39 years for Jim Irvin in this sport as announcing. Jerry, how many years has it been for you?
I've been trying to figure that out since Jim mentioned the 39 number. I think I might be 1 or 2 years short of them, but that's all.
Yeah, but one or two.
I know it's over 30 because I was 25 at Flamborough Speedway.
And is that where you got your start, Flamborough Speedway? Where did you get your start?
At a little dirt racetrack called the Paris Fairground Speedway. That's where I started. And then, and I had never, ever called a race prior to that. And it was under Bruce Bennett, who also owned Sauble Speedway at the time. And so I just went in and did what I'd heard other people do and hoped it was okay. Now, I worked two nights, and he said, you know what? You should come to the beach. And that's when I met Jim. And I can tell you honestly, one of the greatest influences on my career has been Jim Irvin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it, Jim. Look at that. Like, not only do you turn regular people into race fans, but you turn some guys into broadcasters as well. That's got to feel good.
And I learn a lot from Jerry. He was the professional, being a radio announcer, doing news. He brought something else to our track and just did a great job. And I recall the days Jerry was talking about earlier when we did the television show and doing the interviews and broadcasting those races twice a week on CKNX. It was just great.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing that show. And I think one of the greatest things about that show was being able to get the drivers some exposure outside of the car. Everybody sees them in the car. And I remember going to the first banquet and going, who's that guy?
Yeah.
He had his helmet off.
Yeah, yeah. they should all have to have a number on their forehead so you can identify them, right?
Something like that. It was fun. But, you know, when we talk about the job of the announcer, it's great to say our job is to entertain and inform. But I think the biggest part of what we do is to engage the audience with the guys on the track. We're the intermediary. We've got to bring the drivers to the people and the people to the drivers. If you can do that, that's what makes you a successful announcer. It's not about sponsors on cars. It's about the guy behind the wheel, the guys in the pits that are making his car work. Those are the things that when you really relay that to the fans, you're making a connection. Now they go, oh, that guy, I know him. Oh, that's the mechanic at my garage down the street. Any connection they have, and it may be just, you know, hey, his hair's brown like mine, or, well, in my case, silver.
Yeah, well, I can remember, Jim, nights at Sauble Speedway, you were always great at giving that little extra information. And Howard Bentley was on the racetrack, and Mr. Excitement is what you used to call him. And Howard Bentley, I didn't know what Howard did or what, you know, I knew he drove a race car. And sure enough, he was an OPP. Yeah. We had all walks of life in the pit area at a short track, and it's the same way today.
So, you know, Howard, he was the only police officer I know that actually raced with a car sponsored by a donut shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a little donut shop down at Chatsworth. And I always, you know, stopped in there for a coffee on the way home. And one night I walked through the door and all of a sudden there was a OPP officer right behind me. And I said, Howard, where were you tonight? He goes, following you down the highway.
Following you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably a good thing without the lights going. I think of guys like Ken Hayward. He was another OPP officer, drove a race car, had a modified. Matt Mulholland, he got into it big time. Matty did with the Superstock.
Yeah, Matt was a great driver. And, you know, every long weekend at the Speedway, when, like, Matt always managed to find himself in victory lane. His percentage of winning was just fantastic. And he would always, I say, what message can you give to the people in the crowd here going home? And he always had a message about driving safe and the whole bit, you know. And that was great. And Matt, you know, what a great driver.
Yeah, he was. He was. I don't think he's still racing today. I haven't seen him.
I think he's been out of a car, probably, Joe, for about 5 years.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, when you look at the sport, everything has changed, but so much is the same. I know that's kind of two sentences that may not go together, but it's true, Jerry. When I look at the sport today, we've got grandmothers that are racing cars. It's not powder puff anymore. Grandma's actually got a race car and goes out and has a good time, is competitive, and, you know, she's tipping the scales, I don't know, probably around 65 years old, but still out having a good time at her local short track.
And Joe, how many times have we talked about father and son? Now it's father and daughter. We're seeing that at the racetrack. We're seeing some of the girls get behind the wheel. And you know what? They scare the devil out of the guys because they can drive. And they're less afraid, I think, sometimes of being aggressive in the car than some of the guys are. I know I can think of a young lady who drives a four-cylinder car at Flamborough Speedway who we interviewed, Caitlin Wallace. A terrific driver and having some real success. And yet if you met her away from the track, you'd never think she'd be in a car and make some of the moves she does.
Yeah, pretty wild, Jim. You've seen a lot of kids start out junior late model or what have you and work their way right into the big stuff and continue on.
Sure have. And Jerry, just on the family thing, you know, we're talking about this and we see sons following their fathers or daughters following their fathers or mothers. You must be pretty proud to have your son, Josh, follow you into the broadcast booth.
Yeah, I would say I am. When he came to me many, many, many years ago now and said, "Dad, I want to race." Okay, no problem. And of course, he'd been with me to the track since he could walk. Yeah. And I hooked him up. We had a car all set for him. One of my friends owned the car, was ready to let Josh climb in and run it and do the whole thing. And I looked at Josh and I said, "Okay, now I want you to think of this. A, you can go and drive the car. You're going to put all your time and money in it, and you're just not going to have a social life. That's just the way it is if you're going to race, because I know you, you'll get into it right up to your neck. Or you can come work with me behind the microphone." Oh, that sounded like a really good deal. We could have some father-son time and so on. So we started. And the coaching of him along the way, he picked it up, well, I'd like to say naturally, but he did. He picked it up. He understood what needed to be done. And he did a tremendous job. He allowed me to step back and take on some additional responsibilities at Flamborough Speedway. And he kind of became the mainstay announcer, and I became the second voice, not the primary anymore. So it was really good. Of course, like it happens to a lot of us, marriage, small children, and where's your time? It's all spoken for.
Yeah.
I know that I worked with you and Josh down at Flamborough. It was an all-star race. We did the cable telecast, and it was great working with both of yous that night. Just a fantastic night it was, and I think that night Petey Shepherd actually won that race at Flamborough.
Did he? Yeah. Well, he had a tendency of doing that quite a bit at Flamborough Speedway, as he did at the other tracks. But
that's one of my great memories, Joe.
Is it
when Petey Shepherd stepped into the late model for the first time? Came out of turn four, and Jason Shaw showed him where the wall was.
Yeah. Oh boy.
In a big way.
In a
big way. They took the car off on the hook. It was done. He didn't even get lap one. And Jason didn't do anything wrong. Don't misunderstand what I said.
No.
Jason did, but let's face it. If you know Jason Shaw behind the wheel, that's a veteran driver. And poor Petey was on the outside. He just didn't understand. And he ended up piling into the wall. Mm. And, you know, Pete Shepherd, his dad, of course, and Grandpa Pete were in the pit. There were no harsh words. There was a lesson.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way, it never, ever happened again. He learned. And Petey was great for that. And then one night it was over in the pits, and I said, "What's this red light on the dash?" He said, "It's a brake light." And I was really confused. And it was at that moment that Petey kind of turned a little red, and he walked away. And Pete said to me, "He has a bad habit of leaving his toe on the brake pedal." So we put the light in there to tell him when he's got his toe on.
Yeah, you're dragging the car. You're slowing it down. Yeah, incredible.
So, and those are the stories when you relay them to the fans. They engage with the driver. They engage with that family. And it made Petey a bit of a more of a person because, you know, if you know Petey Shepherd, he is not a loudmouth. He's not a big guy. He just, "Hey, I just drive the car."
Yeah.
And, you know, if you tell him how talented he is, he goes, "Oh." he doesn't understand. So the people really had a great respect for him, especially when you realize, you know, he's a pretty young guy when he started in a late model.
Yeah. Well, that four-cylinder, did he spend any time in a four-cylinder, or did he go right into late model?
Street stock Thunder car, straight up into the late model.
Boom.
One season in the Thunder car, and quite honestly, he dominated in that Thunder car. And then, and I know, Jim, you've seen the same thing I've seen. You get guys who move out of Thunder car or street stock, they jump into a late model. That's kind of like going from house league hockey to the NHL.
Right, right.
It's a big step.
You learn a lot of things in a hurry.
Yeah, well, you're either going to learn a lot or it's going to cost you a lot more money. And thankfully, you know, we were able to watch Petey Shepard for a lot of years. He went all the way up to the big leagues in NASCAR and he came back into Canada, ran the NASCAR Pinty Series, Canadian Tire Series, and now NASCAR Canada. Petey Shepard has a lot of race fans in this country, and kind of cool that you guys were able to follow him all the way through. But we got to hit this break, guys. And Jerry, got to thank you for the time and jumping on. I know I look forward to spending a lot of time with you this summer, my friend. We got the IWK 250 to do, and I'm sure we're going to have a bunch more races to announce as time all starts unraveling here. But thanks so much for the time, and thanks for all you do, Jerry.
You're welcome, Joe. It's been an honor. I've had a great time with Race Time Radio. Go, let's keep it going. The more live races we can do, the more I love it.
You betcha, buddy. We wouldn't do it without you. We're going to hit a quick break here on Race Time. Jim Irvin and I will be back in just a couple of moments, and we're going to start going out east. We'll catch up with Tim Terry next, all live tonight on Race Time Radio. Stay right there.
Hey, race fans, this is Trevor Bain, and I'm glad you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by RPM Race Parts. Order today, race tomorrow. Also by VP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. And by Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. There's nothing like sitting around the fire, is there? Lots of life's biggest moments and big challenges get solved right around the fire pit, including many family magic moments. The best way to ensure that fire goes each and every time is to use a Quick Fire Starter. For over 30 years, Quick Fire Starters have been made right here in Canada. I'll never forget when my son was young, thunder was rolling in the distance.
Oh, Dad, what was that?
Well, that's just the angels bowling in heaven.
Dad, what was that?
That's what happens when you pull Grandpa's finger. Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
This is NASCAR champion Ryan Blaney,
Chase Elliott,
Kyle Larson,
Joey Logano,
Kyle Busch,
Martin Truex Jr.,
Brad Keselowski. What is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio?
It's a place to talk about your favorite sport.
You know, I renew my subscription. It never comes off this channel.
The whole day is awesome.
It's a place to hear from the biggest names in NASCAR.
Joey Logano, what are you doing?
I got the SiriusXM set up at my house so I can jump on more often.
Joey, I want to first thank you for doing this. This is awesome for the fans.
It's a trusted source for breaking news.
Major stories today, my friends. Let's get down to business.
There's just never a dull moment.
It's every NASCAR race heard live, including in-car radios.
Logano gets into the back. He shoves him up the racetrack.
Stay out. Trust me.
Bubba Wallace to the lead at Talladega.
Good. Yeah.
And it's classic races that honor the history of the sport.
Dale Earnhardt is going to win the Daytona 500.
So what is SiriusXM NASCAR Radio? It's your 24/7 home for all things NASCAR.
The way you guys cover these races is unbelievable.
Channel 90 streaming right now
on the SiriusXM app.
I'm ready to fly.
Explore the musical world of an American rock and roll troubadour on his very own channel,
Tom Petty Radio.
All of Tom's music,
influences,
collaborations.
This is Tom Petty here on The Buried Treasure Show.
Heartbreakers hosted shows.
Check out my show, The Breakdown with Mike Campbell.
And more.
Breakdown's all right.
With Tom Petty Radio.
Channel 31.
It's all right.
And in the SXM app, included with all trials and popular plans.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
AP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology.
From the high banks of Daytona, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, gal! Woo! Shake and bake!
And here on Race Time Radio.
And welcome back, one and all, alive tonight on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. Each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, you can count on Race Time Radio right here. Or maybe Tuesday night from 4 to 6 p.m., you can tune in to Rev TV Canada, and you can watch the show if you like. Please drop on by, and we genuinely appreciate it. Tonight, it's talking to the voices that you'll hear at short tracks right across the country from today and maybe from yesterday and all points in between. Of course, there is a ton of talented announcers in this country, and tonight we're highlighting some of the best. And we've got to thank absolutely all of them for jumping on. I have Jim Irvin here in the studio, been a track announcer for 39 years, and I'm going to dig into some of the different tracks that Jim has done. I'm going to also ask him about some of those memorable races that he has called over his 39 years, with more to come, I might add, in 2024. But what do you say we get off to the east coast of Canada, out to the Maritimes? And he is genuinely the voice of the Maritimes in racing. His name is Tim Terry. What's going on there, Mr. Terry? How are you?
Not bad, Joe. Jim, how are you tonight?
Doing great, Tim. Glad you're with us.
Yeah. So, Timmy, how many years has it been for you announcing?
Well, this is real track stuff, Scotia Speed World Maritime Pro Stock Tour. This is year 18 coming up in 2024. Wow. And time flies when you're having fun, right?
No kidding. No kidding, Tim. I can't believe 18 years you've been doing it. What was your first race? What was the one that you called for the very first time?
Live at Scotia Speed World, it was the season opener for the Maritime Pro Stock Tour in 2007. That was the point where Andy Campbell was still the voice of the tour. Mike Kaplan was doing pit road. So I was the liaison in between back and forth. I got to cover the undercard stuff, got to do the Bandoleros when the weekly racing series rolled around, Victory Lane. And then it all kind of progressed from there and moved up to the Maritime Pro Stock Tour. And I'm like the old furniture. I've been sitting around in the corner. They haven't moved me yet. So going into year 18, excited for it. Procedures just landed on our desk today, so it's getting ready to go race time.
Yeah, it's getting real close now, and we all get excited at this time of the year. Tim, you haven't just been in the Maritimes, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, PEI. You've branched out, of course, headed over to the Rock. I've seen you out there lots of times out in Newfoundland at Eastbound International Speedway. But you also do speed weeks with the legend cars, Bandoleros, down south. What's that been like, Tim?
To see the future stars of the sport, and you look at, you know, the ASA stars that are racing today, you look at the NASCAR Cup Series, you look at Xfinity and trucks, and you get to see all those names that, you know, they came through Auburndale, or they came through Citrus, or they came through Orlando Speed World when we did Winter Nationals at Orlando back in the early 2010s. Those names that you're seeing, some of them started in Legend Cars. William Byron, obviously, the big thing was he started in Legend Cars. I was at one of his first races at Little Rock back in 2012. It's kind of neat to kind of make that transition. And just this past year, Keelan Harvick and Brexton Bush in Victory Lane at Citrus County Speedway, Brexton winning the week-long championship, Keelan Harvick in a very tough Young Lions division in Legend Cars did a great job as well. You're going to see those names, obviously, on Sunday afternoons down the road. And to see our guys go down and run toe-to-toe with them, Caden Tufts went toe-to-toe with Keelan Harvick for most of that week down there in February. So it's kind of neat to see that come to be and see all those kids that go through those national events with U.S. Legend cars and see where they end up going and giving that little bit of Canadian pride to our guys that go down there, too.
It's pretty amazing, Jim, when you look at, you know, even go back 10, 15 years ago, the Canadian guys weren't getting the due recognition when they would go south. Yes, our Junior Hanley would go south. Everybody knew Junior. Didn't matter where you went in North America, that man was known. But I can't say that for so many other teams that had gone down south. They get sort of like pushed to the undercard. And I know that's where Racetime Radio has always prided itself on trying to get our Canadian guys some recognition. And when they do go south, hey, guess what? They're recognized straight off the bat. And I think we're seeing that today.
We're seeing it happen now. You look at Kyle Steckley today, Joe Lawrence, along with Cole Butcher, racing down at Five Flags. And they're very respectable.
Yeah. And, well, you've got Trayton Lapcevich running in the Cars Tour. And the list goes on and on. Tim, you would have seen a lot, too, from the East Coast of Canada with, you know, guys like Cole Butcher and Nicholas Noggle. Those were all guys that cut their teeth. And you, my friend, have followed them all the way through.
I got to follow them from Bandoleros all the way up to Legend Cars to Pro Stocks and whatever they do down south. And now the future coming through. You think of a kid like Gage Gilby, got to start in Bandoleros a couple of years ago, has run Winter Nationals the last couple of years. Didn't have the Pro Division that he wanted to this year, had engine issues at Citrus, but he's going pro stock racing. Who knows where that kid's going to be in the next 5-10 years? He could be chasing ASA races and chasing Southern Super Series races like Nicholas Noggle and Cole Butcher are. It's very exciting to see, and very exciting to see them start at that level that they do here, whether it's Scotia Speed World, Petty International Raceway, Speedway 660, Oyster Bed, or whatever racetrack they end up on in Atlanta, Canada.
Tim, you have worked with some of the best in the business. I know you are working side by side with guys like Dylan Langille at Riverside International Speedway. And when TCM goes into a speedway to either do coverage or broadcasting, you include that local announcer. You get a chance to work with everybody. You got any memorable moments? Any of the times where you've had to pinch yourself saying, wow, I can't believe I just did that?
There's a lot of memorable moments, and you mentioned bringing in the track announcers. Everybody out here is a family, including yourself and Jerry and Josh and everybody that comes down from Racetime Radio as a part of the IWK 250 and the other pro stock races that we cover. Everybody's family, whether it's Dylan Langille at Scotia Speed World and Riverside International Speedway and on the Mass Tour. You're going to have Jesse Thompson come up in a bit. Jesse's a good friend, and he's come through the ranks and paid his dues. Good kid. I call him he's no longer a kid anymore, but I call him a kid because I've known him for so long. You go over to Johnny at Oyster Bed Speedway. I get to work with Scott Boyd at Cape Breton. You know, there's a lot of cool names. You go down south, Lenny Baticki, Tony Stevens, worked with Gene Crane one year down at Winter Nationals. The list goes on and on. Got to work with Ashton Smythe, a young and upcomer that's going to be doing the 500 Sprint Car Tour for Dirt Vision. Got to work with her during Winter Nationals. Jacqueline Drake, you know, list goes on and on of folks that I've got to work with. And it's kind of the, you know, there's a kid from Nova Scotia that's down here calling a race with these folks. Sometimes it's one of those things that you don't think you belong, but all of a sudden, you know, you're just here having fun. And it's pretty much the same thing from up here. You're at a short track, you're describing the action, and, you know, it's same thing as it is up home.
So, Tim, I'd like to ask, what made you become a race announcer? What made you do it?
It's a funny story, Jim. I ended up at a flea market, and I picked up a NASCAR Racing 2003 season back in 2003. Wasn't very good at the driving thing. Still, I'm not very good at the driving thing. We do a little bit of iRacing now and again, but started with that and hooked up with the guys that were calling some of the races. And ended up, my first race was the FLM 400 back in December 2003. Some guy named Denny Hamlin won it back when he was doing all that stuff, trying to get into the Rockwell Automation 20 for JGR and what have you. And we ended up working with Dale Jr. in the DMP League for a little while and got to call races with Brad and those folks. And when that kind of trickled off, the NASCAR 2003 platform kind of trickled off around 2006, 2007 is when I got my start at Scotia. And the rest is history. Still do some stuff for iRacing. Used to do the eNASCAR Coca-Cola series for 12 years. Do the World of Outlaws in the winter now for Dirt Vision and iRacing. And it kind of comes full circle. You don't forget where you came from, and it's a funny story that it's been 21 years now that it ended up being video games, and now we're here.
Yeah, it's amazing. It truly blows my mind. But, Tim, you are genuinely one of those short-track professional announcers. I'm very proud to call you a friend, and we've had a lot of fun, and I know we're not done having it yet. We still got lots of laps coming up. What do you got on your schedule this year? Where can fans check you out?
The easiest place is timscorner.ca, because I don't know half the time where I'm going. I get in a car and I go to a racetrack. I can tell you that May 18th is the Kenny Upel 150 for the East Coast International Pro Stock Tour. Big thumbs up to Bay Equipment Rentals. They're now sponsoring the weekly racing series. Dave Mary and CarStar have been there for 8 years. They've moved on to a different program. So big thank you to Dave. We're going to be running the Bay Equipment Rentals weekly series on Sunday, May 19th. Test and Tune will be the week before. And then we're going to go racing. I think I've got 52 races on my schedule until the end of October. I was supposed to go to Nashville, but that got changed for Radical Speed Sport in Moncton. So we're going to be at the car show, 50th annual Radical Speed Sport in Moncton, April 19 to 21, Moncton Coliseum. Joe does a great job up there putting that show together. So if you're in the area, stop by, have some fun with us, do some bench racing, and then get ready to go racing with us at Scotia Speed World in Halifax on the 2-4 weekend.
You will have lots of live content from that, as you always do, right?
Absolutely. It's a great time to get together and talk some racing. It's a month before the racing season. I know Riverglade is going to be there, Gary and the folks that are getting ready to revive that racetrack for the first time in over 10 years. They're going to be there, the Super Late Model Series, Speedway 660, Petty Raceway. We'll have a couple of things in the Maritime Pro Stock Tour as well. We're going to have Haley Bland in our booth with a bandolero so the kids can come and sit in the race car and get used to what a race car driver goes through and chat with Haley as well. It's going to be a great show. Get there, enjoy it. If you haven't, if not, we'll have some content for you through timscorner.ca and our Facebook page, and then we get revved up about a month later. There's no off season for us, Joe. You know that.
Yeah, no, it just keeps on going. Just one to the next. That's what we love about it. Tim Terry, thanks so much for the time tonight. You're always gracious and jump on here with us, and look forward to getting together with you, my man. We've got a good summer coming up.
It's going to be a great one. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Tim.
You bet. Tim Terry. You can catch him. Tim's Corner. He's got more content than you'll ever believe on timscorner.ca. Check him out. We're going to hit this quick break. When we come back, Jesse Thompson, the recorded interview, I'm going to spin it next. He's a great announcer. You wait till you hear this.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Walters, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Leaf Racewear. Fuel your passion and confidence at leafracewear.com. We're an essential part of any team. And by Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, Canada's biggest sports car racing weekends of the year. For tickets and details, get to CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
The SXM app is your one-stop destination for everything you love.
Things keep getting bigger and bigger for these two.
Everything you missed.
You two were so funny together on the Oscars the other night.
And exclusive podcasts, video, and on-demand access to your favorite stations. Hear your favorite team from the car, from your home, or on the go.
Walks in, put it between his legs!
All with the SXM app. A free download now from the Google Play or Apple App Store today.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by GSR Parts, sprint car specialists with chassis, engines for dirt or asphalt cars. From wings to springs, GSR's got you covered. Contact Terry and start winning today. Also by Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
Hey everyone, this is World Series champions Lance McCullers Jr. and Carlos Correa. We're excited to announce that our podcast, The Walkout, is now available on SiriusXM.
Each episode, we go inside the world of combat sports, providing hardcore analysis, honest opinions, and top picks for every fight.
If you share the same passion for combat sports as we do, you need to listen to The Walkout.
Episodes are available on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rev TV, your motorsports and automotive destination. Watch live races from around the world and right here at home, from two wheels to four and so much more. Rev TV is your source for motorsports. Rev TV features exclusive race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and adrenaline-filled lifestyle programs 24/7. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fueled by AP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology.
Your weekly fix of newsmakers and newsbreakers is found right here.
We call it Race Time Radio.
With your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everyone, all live tonight on SiriusXM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. I hope you got your SiriusXM subscription all ready to go for this summer. Little kerfuffle this week with the TSN broadcast schedule. The Xfinity race didn't go off on the normal channel. Today's Cup race moved to CTV2. There was some moving and shaking. They had a lot of programming. And I know there was some real furious race fans online. And they can't say I blame you. Because, you know, you buy a channel to get the content. And then when the content either moves or... But stuff does happen. And happened this weekend. One thing I can guarantee you. If you get a SiriusXM satellite radio, you're going to get all top series NASCAR races, all live, guaranteed. Every truck race, every Xfinity race, and every Cup race, pre-race, post-race, you get it all on SiriusXM NASCAR radio. If you haven't got that, you're going to want to get it. And look at this, you get Racetime Radio to boot on Channel 167. Anyway, tonight's show is all about the voices we hear at the short tracks. Jesse Thompson is one of those voices, done a tremendous job at Speedway 660 in New Brunswick. Jesse couldn't be with us live tonight. I said, that's okay, Jess. What do you say we record it? So we did. And I'm going to spin it for you now. Here's Jesse. What's going on, Jess?
I'm doing great, Joe. Glad to be on, listen to a lot of shows over the years, a lot of broadcasts, obviously, from when you guys come out east. Just glad to finally get the call up to be on the show. This is great.
You betcha. Short track fans get attached from the time really they show up to their first race. And it's always the announcer that, race fans get attached to. And you guys are responsible, you and Jim Irvin here and all the guys we talked to tonight. You guys are really responsible for turning regular people into race fans. That's got to feel good.
Absolutely. It's always somebody's first time to the racetrack. Somebody's first time seeing race cars out on the track. Maybe a friend or a family member introduced them to the sport. Maybe they're checking it out for the first time. I've had friends and family that have come to the track for the first time before, and it's been a great experience to show them what it's all about. And of course, to educate them, tell them why they should be excited. Maybe they do other things and they don't come back for a little bit, but at least they've always got that memory of the day I spent at the races, which is fantastic.
They're going to remember the action. They're going to remember the sights and the smells. But one thing I know for sure they're going to take away, and that's the voice that they heard all night calling the action. You guys need to know a lot. The information that you pass along is crucial, and there's real good announcers in this sport, and there's some that are learning their way. And then there's others, man, I don't know. I can tell you for sure from watching the 660 250s that I've watched over the years and knowing from race fans, Jesse, you pass on that information and you do create that magic moment. What's it been like and how long have you been doing announcing? You're a young guy.
Well, You know, let's have fun with this. Take a guess. How old do you think I was first time I picked up a microphone? Because it'll probably surprise you.
Well, let me take a shot at this. I'm going to use the Paxton theory here. Jerry Paxton from Flamborough Speedway. He and his son, actually, Josh, got pulled into the mix. And I wouldn't doubt Josh was about, I'm going to say 16 or 17 when he jumped on. And, you know, the rest is history, so to speak.
Let's try a little younger. How about 11?
Wow, really?
All 11 years old, first time I ever picked up a microphone at Speedway 660.
Isn't that cool? Oh, man, you must have some wild memories and wild races that you recall when you look over your career. And 11 years old, man, that was quite a while ago then.
Yeah, this September will be 17 years that I've been at it. Been a lot of ups and downs over the years, obviously, like any job, like any profession. But, you know, it's something that I can do to give back to the sport, because the sport has been so entertaining to me and it's been so good to my family, to my friends. I'll never get to be a driver. I probably will never be a crew chief or a spotter or anything like that. But on Saturday nights, I can go up into the booth, take the mic in my hand, and bring out a different side of myself, you know?
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. You get into the moment, and really, you're there, and fans really attach themselves. Do you have one of those magic races? You've called quite a few races. Do you got one that stands out amongst all the other ones? And, you know, you say, man, I'll never forget this one.
Oh, goodness. It's funny. We talk about 660. We talk about the Easy Clean Super Light Model Series. We'll probably touch on that in a little bit. Probably that race was the first time I got to do a Pro All-Star Series event. When they came to Petty International Raceway in 2018, it had got pushed back a day because of weather. But to see a guy like Derek Griffith roll out onto the racetrack, a guy like Garrett Hall, Ben Rowe and Cole Butcher going at it in that race, you know, Lonnie Somerville, Kyle Reed, Robbie McEwen against our own guys, against some of the best in North America at the time, my home track. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. And then getting the call to do it again a little bit later in the year at Spud Speedway, just across the border, another home track of mine, was a career milestone for me. I remember sitting in the tower, 1:59 in the afternoon, sitting there, knowing those cars going to roll out on track, and my hand is doing this, you know, I'm shaking, but I can't explain. When those cars rolled out, it's like, a phrase you like to use, it's like dynamite. It just came out as fast as possible, and I was in it, and I was ready to go, and I knew that was going to be an important day in my career.
And that's how you turn regular people into race fans, I can guarantee it. That energy would follow right down that microphone cord, right out to that audience, and away they go. Speedway 660 is home for you. How about other tracks that you've announced at, taken the microphone and worked at? Is it a long list?
It's not a terribly long list, I suppose. You know, I haven't called any races in Quebec or gone out to Ontario. I mean, depending where you go in Ontario, that's a 15-hour drive for me here. So a little difficult to get out that way. But Oyster Bed Speedway in Prince Edward Island, getting to some races in the state of Maine, getting to see some races in New Hampshire. But I guess I've stuck home quite a bit often. I've done a lot of 660, a lot of Petty International Raceway, Speedway Miramichi, Center for Speed up in Shediac, a race in Bathurst once upon a time before they closed the doors. You know, I've got a little bit of a list, but there's a lot of things I'd like to do in my career. But we'll get there.
I was just going to say, what's on your bucket list? Do you have one place that you want to go announce at or would really, I don't know, get you excited to come right off the chip to go do as a special event?
I've got to do Beach Ridge. That was awesome. I got to call a race with Andy Austin. That was a good time. I'd like to do the All-American in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one.
I would like to do that. I don't know if I've got the connections really to get down there and do that, but Nashville is one of my favorite places on the planet to watch racing, to see racing. I think I'd be all right up there.
I guarantee it. They'd love to hear from you. I can bet. I can just bet. How about Racer? Now, let's pull the race fan out of Jesse. Who is your driver? And I know as an announcer, you don't have just one when you're at the track. We're not at the track. Who's your number one guy that you look up to and go, yeah, that's my guy?
Well, you know what? I put on his shirt tonight, but Bobby Timmons, super modified star out of New England. You know, the Timmons family and super modifieds they've had a storied history together going back years and years and years. I got to kind of be on the crew for Bobby last summer when he went to Wiscasset. It didn't end up so well for him that day, but we had a great time. I had never seen super modifieds up close to be involved in that and to see that racetrack for the first time. You want to talk about a packed racetrack on a July evening? You want to talk excitement? That place was unglued when the Super Modifieds came out. They put on a whale of a show. And, you know, Bobby's a great guy. His whole family is great. You know, he's probably the guy.
That's cool. That's real cool to hear. And I know we've all got favorites. How about the NASCAR guy? Do you watch NASCAR? And do you have a NASCAR star favorite?
I've kind of fallen out a bit with NASCAR. Ryan Newman was my guy for a long time. I've gotten more into IndyCar and sports car racing in the last couple of years, the left and right turns and all the strategy that comes from that and the sounds and the excitement. I think it's a little bit underappreciated, to be honest. I think you think of the Daytona 24, you think of, you know, the Indy 500, those sorts of things, but nobody thinks when they come to Toronto or when the sports cars go to a place like Lime Rock or, you know, anywhere else. They put on some great racing, and sometimes the stands are a little bare for it. And I think we got to do a little more to get people out, get people onto the other side of the fence, as it were.
That was Jesse Thompson. Does a great job at Speedway 660. And we really appreciate the time. Kind of cool to see, Jim.
Oh, he has done a lot and just does a fantastic job, Joe. And it shows what kind of announcers we have right across this land.
Yeah, it sure does. We are going to have to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and highlights that you may have missed over hour number one. But then Jim Irvin and I are going to be back for hour number two. Ron Sinclair is going to join us. Yeah, you remember old Ronnie Sinclair. He's going to drop on by. Adam Ross, our NASCAR Canada series announcer, is going to stop on by. And we're going to hear from Rocky Horn all the way out in BC. All still to come in hour number two tonight, all live on Sirius XM, channel 167. We're going to step out back to you in Toronto, Scotty. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Leaf Racewear. Fuel your passion and confidence at leafracewear.com. We're an essential part of any team. And by Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, Canada's biggest sports car racing weekends of the year. For tickets and details, get to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park.com. So, how's that rebuild going? Have you got that race car ready to go yet? You still looking for parts? Have you called GSR Parts yet? You want to save some money, right? So you can buy the stuff you need throughout the course of the year. GSR Parts carries all the big name brands, along with some parts that are manufactured right on site. Centrally located in Ontario, you can stop by and pick up the parts you need, or they'll ship them nationwide.
We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio. And here on Racetime Radio. On Sirius XM 167. Where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins all live tonight from the Racetime Radio studio. So, so glad you could tune in tonight. If you're just stepping aboard, I want to tell you what we're doing tonight on the show. It's all about the voices you hear at short tracks right across this country from yesterday, from today, and you'll hear more this coming summer. You're going to get to a speedway, and it's just great having the talent that we have coming on this show tonight. Ron Sinclair going to be up here in mere moments. I can see he's connected, kind of. I think his phone is, but we can't see him just yet. So I imagine Ron's going to be clicking some buttons, and then we'll actually see him. But we'll hear from Ron tonight, Ron Sinclair. Adam Ross is going to join us here in hour number two. And Rocky Horn, all the way out in B.C., one of those famed announcers from out there. You know, Jim, I have got a list 2 pages long here of different announcers that we haven't got on tonight's show, but definitely need to mention some of these guys. Kirby is one that you started out with.
Yeah, I started with Ron Kirby back in 1985. That year we did Sauble and Varney Speedway. And, you know, I owe a lot to Ron. He got me started in calling races.
Of course, Dave Middleton. Well, Dave Middleton, the current announcer, still with you today out at Sauble Speedway.
Well, Dave and I are, you know, we're tied at the hips. You know,
yeah,
we work well together, I think, and we bounce off each other. And you know, he jumps in, helps me out, and boy, it's a pleasure to work with Dave. And boy, I've worked with Dave off and on since 1994.
You know, I flirted with the idea of getting Dave in here tonight to join you and I and have three of us in here. But then I thought, you know, we're not going to have enough time to fit everything in that I want to fit in. And I know one night we could spend 2 hours, just you, Dave, and I, talking about everything that has transpired and stuff we've got coming up this year.
Yeah, it's been fun working with Dave. He's a great person. You know, he's a great announcer, but he's even a better person. And I think anybody that has been around Dave can tell you that.
Oh, he has a lot of fun. He's a good golfer, good radio announcer, and definitely a good track announcer.
And he's a great family man.
Yeah, he sure is. Pete Dalladay, you remember Pete? He was the announcer at Peterborough Speedway.
I worked with Pete several times.
Another OHL guy too, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Pete Dalladay was one. Of course, Clinton Jeffrey, the sidekick to Adam Ross. We always see Clinton. He is G-Force. He's at Oshweken. He's on the NASCAR TSN broadcast. You pretty well name it, and you're going to see Clinton and Adam together.
Well, yeah, well, you know, Clinton wears a lot of hats. He's a busy man, and he's very well respected in the industry, not only as an announcer, but, of course, a track manager.
Well, when I look at, you know, places like Delaware Speedway, John was there for a long time. I don't think he's there now. Chris Soares, another one that did do a bunch of broadcasting. He was away for a couple of years, but back in it, he did the Rogers broadcast. Most of it, he was flying solo. And I'll tell you, Chris Soares, the real deal. He did a great job even doing it by himself. And, of course, we all miss Jarrett Dockstetter. He's gone now. But Jarrett was one of those guys. Man, did he do a good job. He, along with Jamie Maudsley, and now Jamie's son is involved. Jordan. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, and we think back over the years. We lost Chris Dawson a few years ago.
Oh, Chris Dawson. Yeah. So funny, Jim. One night I'm at Sunset Speedway. We finished off at Sauble. I think it was practice day for us. Anyway, Ross Potter and I, soon as practice was wrapped up at the beach, we jumped in the pace truck and zipped over to Sunset. Back then, Steve Slaughter was the promoter, and got into the grandstand, and sure enough, Chris Dawson on the mic, and the place was packed. It was, I don't know whether it was opening night or pretty close to opening night, and of course, how many Leaf fans are in the grandstands, right? There's got to be a lot of them. Yeah. And Chris opened up with, and the score of tonight's hockey game? Who cares? We're racing. And, oh, yeah, it was hilarious. Just Chris Dawson, he was one of those guys.
And you think back to in the past, you think of what Brandon Doherty just does a great job over at Sunset right now. But you think about before him, of course, Ernie Martin that was there for years and years, and, of course, down at Pinecrest. And how hard of a job it was that final night at Pinecrest when he said, that's it, you know.
Yeah,
We're closing down.
Who was the announcer at the X, at the exhibition, do you know?
I can't go back that far.
No. Rick Ringer is another one. We still hear Rick Ringer, I believe. He's still on Country 93 up here in the Own Sound market. But Rick Ringer was the broadcaster, the announcer at Mossport on the half mile.
Yeah, and at Peterborough.
And at Peterborough, yeah.
Yeah, I know when I used to go over there, Rick would walk in the booth, he and Pete.
Yeah.
I had to fill in for Pete. You know, he had to go, if it wasn't hockey or lacrosse, I filled in for him a couple of times.
Did you?
And that's going back quite a few years. But Rick would stick his nose in, you know, come in. And Rick, of course, has done announcing as well at Varney.
Yeah, well, I tried to get Rick to jump on tonight, and he said, oh, Joe, I'm so passionate. It. He said, I'll forget. He said, I don't want to. He said, I'd rather not. And I said, yeah, no problem, Ricky. I just wanted to pay homage to a guy that did a fantastic job at Mossport.
Well, and Rick Ringer is a legend in Toronto radio.
Oh, sure he is. Yeah, Chum FM.
Yes.
Yeah. He was Elton John or any of the big acts. They all came through Toronto. And it was Rick Ringer that interviewed all those big acts. But
I remember the first time I met Rick over at Peterborough. I'm talking to Rick Ringer, you know, one of the legends in Toronto radio.
Oh, guaranteed. Tell you what, I'm looking at our Zoom line, and I can see a connection, so I'm hoping that we have Ron Sinclair on the other end. What's going on, Ronnie?
Man, first time I've ever made the Zoom call. Shows you how old I am, man.
That's okay. We can't see you, but we can definitely hear you, Ron Sinclair. And we have heard you.
Oh, that's too.
That's
too bad. I actually went. I went and dug out an old Cascar shirt and hat and everything just to make sure it worked. And I was looking spiffy for the show.
Oh man, I wish we could see it. There'll be just a click on your end to turn the video on. Because definitely the audio is working, but we haven't got any kind of picture. But, Ron, you had a storied career in short track racing right across the country with Cascar. When did you start?
Well, it all actually started for me back in the early 80s, 1982. I popped into Saskatoon International Raceway, which was a drag strip. They need an announcer, and I was Johnny on the spot there for a couple of years. And then it wasn't until 1988 that I showed up at Delaware Speedway, which was my home track from a kid. And they needed an announcer, and then, as they say, the rest is history. So 1988 was when I joined at Delaware Speedway, and Cascar was just in its early formative years. And so I was right on the ground floor with the series, the development of the series, and, of course, Delaware Speedway for all those years, too.
Oh, Ron, amazing to say the least. I would follow the Cascar series. If I wasn't at the actual race, I was following along on television. Back then, you did all the broadcasts as well. Just an amazing job doing all you did and learning everything about the teams to pass it on to everybody. That would have been quite a job, a labor of love, so to speak, right?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing that happened was no one had to tell me that the drivers were the stars of the show. So when I entered this thing, it wasn't about being an announcer up in front of crowds and all that stuff. And so the first thing I had to do was dig in and get to know the competitors right away and get to know the rule book and all of that stuff. And from that point on, it was always about the drivers. I felt that my job was to make them household names. And, you know, hopefully people will know the Don Thompsons and the Steve Robleys and all those guys. There's so many of them, and they're all great friends, too. And they'll know them as, you know, household names in the racing community right now. And if that's the case, then I think I did my job.
Oh, you did your job, and you did it to the nines, so to speak. just amazing. A lot of the guys that you mentioned are currently in the Hall of Fame, and for just cause, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I was fortunate enough to get that call in 2020. And because of COVID, our induction wasn't until 2022. But Tony Novotny came, and of course, he's an 07 member of the Hall. And, you know, he was my mentor, obviously. And it was guys like him and Dave Mathers, who's also in the Hall. And I remember Tony mentioning to me that night, he said, "It's amazing how many old CASCAR people are now in the Hall." And so, you know, there were a lot of people back in the early 90s that were on board, but there were also a lot of naysayers in those early years. And it's great after all these years to see that that tour finally came full circle and continues today with the great professionalism that it has.
Well, and looking at CASCAR, man, we can look back now, Jim, and say those were the good old days. When you look at car counts,
the glory years.
Yeah, there was it wasn't uncommon, Ron, to have 40 and 50 cars show up to a CASCAR East race or a national event.
Well, the first time in 1990 that we had the Bud Stocks at CNE in Toronto, they had 64 cars show up, and some of them went home. There was just no way they could get in and get tacked in time for the show. And, yeah, I think that was the highest car count ever. But regularly during the early and mid-90s, for sure, I mean, 38 cars, 43 cars, all vying for maybe 36 starting spots. So we actually had to have a B main back in those days.
So just on that, Ron, it must have been a pretty nice feeling for you going to the CNE. I know it only lasted the 1 year, but it's the glory days of stock car racing in this country when you talk about the CNE. What did it feel like to go back there and be part of it?
Well, it was great. I think Budweiser did a super job at the time, and all the organizers. I mean, there was no shortage of sponsorship at that track. There were gigantic billboards, and they had the big screen TV, of course, from the Blue Jay days there and the Argo days there. But for whatever reason, downtown just didn't seem to be the venue until it really got going. I mean, they had 55,000 seats, but I don't think we ever completely sold that out, maybe a couple of times close. But it was just, I don't know, a combination of Thursday night. I know there was politics involved with the noise issue bylaws there for a while and stuff. But after a while, it took off. And it's unfortunate it lasted only 1 year, but it's all about the business of racing, too. And with low crowd counts that first year, they were kind of doomed to carry on, I thought.
Yeah, it would be tough. That was the first real full season of the Blue Jays in mm-hmm. the Dome, always competing against that. Question, Ron, yeah. What was your feeling like when you got the call for the Hall of Fame, knowing that you were going in with Steve Robley and Alex Nagy and so many great drivers? You must have felt pretty special.
Yes, I certainly did. And it was a gentleman from Western Canada who was, a roundabout way affiliated with CASCAR West and what evolved from there out here and everything. And Steve Jackson was my nominator, I should say. And, from being from Southern Ontario and move out to Prince George, British Columbia, which was hockey related for me, and to have somebody out here recognize your abilities all those years who I'd never met before. So it was quite an honor. It was a thrill. And there's just so many great people in that hall, and there's many more to come. I assure you, there's so many that should be in that hall right now.
We're with Ron Sinclair. Of course, he was the voice of CASCAR back in the day, did all the broadcasts, SEMA Delaware Speedway, seen him at a lot of different racetracks, and he joins us tonight from, whereabouts are you, Ron?
I'm actually sitting on the deck at Clucas Lake, which is right dead safe. If you were to put a pin in the center of British Columbia, that's where I am. There's ice on the lake as I speak, but it's plus nine and a gorgeous day out.
Yeah,
British Columbia.
Somebody said it was like 13 degrees and sunny out in Penticton today.
I think Jerry mentioned
it. Yeah, he did. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, and that's probably... driving, that would be 9 hours south of me right now.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to make that nine-hour trip. We've got a big race coming up out there. Of course, the Western Rattler 300 at Penticton Speedway, July the 5th. Maybe we can get together up in the broadcast booth.
They've done such a great job there, and both tracks down there with the road course, of course. And it's unfortunate that my old track, Sun Valley Speedway, just never hung in there, because you would have had a really nice southern BC circuit for sure.
Oh, yeah. One you could only imagine, right? Just amazing. Ron, you got a special moment that stands out, a defining moment, if you will, in your racing career. Was there one race that stands out that goes, man, that was it?
Yeah, I'd probably say the day, I can't remember the year now, I'm thinking it's 93, and Kerry Mix and Steve Robley were vying for the a championship within the championship, the Canadian Ford Motorsport Championship at the time. And it went right down to the final race. Steve Robley lost a motor in that race. John Johnson, his crew chief, and their staff got that thing back in under 50 minutes, I think. And back on the track and picked up a few more spots. And Tony Novotny was out on the track after the race with a calculator. And we were trying to figure out who had won. And it turned out that Kerry Mix had won by 2 or 4 points and won the truck and the money and the whole nine yards. But the excitement of Steve Robley, the hometown guy at his track, putting an engine in, trying to win the championship, it was a thrilling afternoon.
Just amazing, right? And to be part of that and to be calling it. And to remember, you know, to have those defining moments. Ron, this has been great catching up with you tonight. We genuinely appreciate the time. And I believe Sue's got a photo of you up there anyway.
I was able to get the photo. That's the old CASCAR West Sun Valley jersey and a CASCAR hat for you.
Well, you're the man. We much appreciate it. Ron, thanks so much for the time tonight.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great show.
You betcha. Ron Sinclair, one of those guys, man. I'll tell you, on a national base, Ron Sinclair was the man.
Well, yeah, he was great. I got the pleasure to work with him when CASCAR came to Sauble and put on a great show. Great guy, just did a fantastic job, and he's a true professional.
He sure is. We're going to hit this quick break when we come back. How about the current announcer for NASCAR Canada, Adam Ross, going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay right there.
Hey, race fans, this is Larry Berrio, and you're listening to Race Time Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Leaf Racewear. Fuel your passion and confidence at leafracewear.com. We're an essential part of any team. And by Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, Canada's biggest sports car racing weekends of the year. For tickets and details, get to CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
The SXM app is your one-stop destination for everything you love.
Things keep getting bigger and bigger for these two.
Everything you missed.
You two were so funny together on the Oscars the other night.
And exclusive podcasts, video, and on-demand access to your favorite stations. Hear your favorite team from the car, from your home, or on the go.
Walks in, put it between his legs! Let's go!
All with the SXM app. A free download now from the Google Play or Apple App Store today.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by GSR Parts, sprint car specialists with chassis, engines for dirt or asphalt cars. From wings to springs, GSR's got you covered. Contact Terry and start winning today. Also by Quick Wick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. There are thousands of parts and pieces that go into today's race cars. GSR Parts has what you need, and they ship coast to coast in Canada. GSR Parts specializes in dirt sprint car chassis, modifieds, and so much more. Whether you race dirt or asphalt, road course, or in a straight line, GSR Parts has the parts you need to get you back on track and in victory lane. Give Terry Baker a call and visit them on Facebook at GSR Parts.
Rev TV, your motorsports and automotive destination. Watch live races from around the world and right here at home, from two wheels to four and so much more. Rev TV is your source for motorsports. Rev TV features exclusive race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and adrenaline-filled lifestyle programs 24/7. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fueled by AP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Quick Wick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. There's nothing like sitting around the fire, is there? Lots of life's biggest moments and big challenges get solved right around the fire pit, including many family magic moments. The best way to ensure that fire goes each and every time is to use a Quick Wick Fire Starter. For over 30 years, Quick Wick Fire Starters have been made right here in Canada. I'll never forget when my son was young, thunder was rolling in the distance.
Oh, Dad, what was that?
Well, that's just the angels bowling in heaven.
Dad, what was that?
That's what happens when you pull Grandpa's finger. Quick Wick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
Your weekly fix of newsmakers and newsbreakers is found right here.
We call it Race Time Radio.
With your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, one and all, to Race Time Radio, all live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks. And hello to the viewers on Rev TV Canada, Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Enjoying your dinner and picking up on your short track race news. Tonight, it's all about the voices that you hear at the speedways. All those guys responsible for turning guys like me into race fans. And then, man, I can't get enough of it. How bad you got it? I'm loaded with it. But our next guest is definitely to blame for me being a race fan. His name is Adam Ross. He, of course, is the voice of NASCAR here in Canada. What's going on tonight there, Mr. Adam? How are you?
I'm great, Joe. Thanks for having me on. Really cool idea for a show.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was thinking. What can we do that's different? And, you know, when you break it all down, Adam, you announcers are really, that's the pinnacle. That's where it all starts right there. If the announcer does an outstanding job, you got race fans. You're growing them one at a time, and the information that you hand out is, it's valuable stuff. That's what turns us all into fans. When was your first race that you called, Adam?
Wow, the first race I called would have been an Oktoberfest Grand Prix with the Waterloo Kart Club back in the mid-90s.
Mid-90s.
First car race I ever called would have been Flamborough Speedway on a night that Jerry Paxton couldn't be there.
Oh, really? So, Flamborough, you've announced that it'd be scary, the list of tracks that you've actually called a race at. Have you ever sort of looked at that and went, maybe I'll do a little calculation?
You know what? I think about it sometimes, Joe. I'm terrible with statistics. I am the worst announcer in history for facts and figures and statistics. Same with my own history. It would be interesting to know where I've been and where I've called races, but sometimes you go down memory lane and there's different moments that you remember along the way. And it's not always the biggest shows, but just special moments that you remember from, boy, more than 25 years of doing it.
Yeah. And you've, like the National Series, all those magic moments, Adam, you have been a part of that and bringing that either, you know, to viewers or listeners right across the country. And really, we've seen the best of the best roll through NASCAR Canada. This year, no exception. It's going to be off the hook.
It really is, Joe. And you know as well as anybody, because you've followed it, the farther you get from Ontario, the more you realize what an impact that we're all able to make, what a big deal it is, what we're a part of. Because when you roll into Saskatoon or you roll into Antigonish, Nova Scotia, or when we used to go to Vernon, British Columbia, the people are so excited to have all of us, to have the whole entity roll in, that you can't help but take that in. Let me tell you, the coolest thing I can ever remember was 2010 in Vernon, British Columbia.
Oh, yeah.
When the national anthem was sung, and it was deafening to hear the crowd singing it back. It was right after the Winter Olympics. Like, national pride had never been bigger. So you wouldn't think that one of the best moments I've ever had, one, I wasn't talking, and two, it wasn't while a race was going on, but it was having the crowd sing O Canada to us.
Yeah,
it was so cool.
It was hot as all get out that day, too. I remember it quite well. That was 38 degrees in the shade.
Yeah, we had some warm ones out there.
Absolutely. Adam Ross, what do you look forward to now? These days, you're calling the biggest sprint car races there are. You're calling NASCAR Canada. Do you ever get back and call a go-kart race?
No, but not because I wouldn't, Joe. You know, the opportunity hasn't come up. Things haven't been lined up to do it. Gary Colling called a lot of races at the Waterloo Kart Club when I would have had a chance. But I love it. It's not about, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, calling a race on the streets of Toronto or when we used to go to Edmonton or Montreal. Yeah, it's a big deal, but so is calling a Friday night at Oswegan or a Saturday night up at Sauble Speedway on the August long weekend when the place is just filled to the rafters.
Yeah, you guys had a lot of fun. You, Jim, and Adam Ross, I think back to the APC races that you guys done together. You guys had a lot of fun.
Certainly, we had a lot of fun, Adam, and, you know, we can throw different opinions and what's going on the track. But one thing, and I'm talking about racing in general, how did the pandemic change the way we watch racing?
You guys, the pandemic launched our streaming product.
Yeah. And
without the pandemic, the work that we do at the racetrack to deliver the product home never would have got off the ground at the speed that it did. So that change, you know, and beyond the pandemic, I think live streaming races has changed the art of calling races forever. Because you're playing to two audiences with the same product. And I think a lot of places, and Joe, I know you watch races all the time. A lot of places are working on that, trying to perfect what they're doing and get better at it. But you look at the things that have changed over time, and I think that's the biggest since I've started. It's the fact that people can hear everything you say now.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't the case 25 years ago. You're drowned out by the sound of race cars, but now people can hear it. They can play it back. We're a lot more accountable than we used to be.
Oh, yeah. And it's right at your fingertips, right? And if it's not at the race fans' fingertips now, they're getting jumpy. They want their content. They want it now. And nothing really wrong with that.
It's a great thing. You know, the name of the game, Joe, you were a promoter for a long time. You're still a promoter, even though you're doing it with a program now. You want people to be hungry for what you're serving. So if they want it now, don't shy away from it. Figure out how to get it to them and figure out how to make that a paying audience, right? One way or another.
Exactly. So this year, with the NASCAR Canada schedule changing things up and making it different, you're going to end the series, crown a champion in the province of Quebec. I've been with you for quite a few Quebec races. Those fans are unglued. What are they going to do when it's time to crown a champion at a track that these guys have never even raced on? This is going to be wild.
It depends who's in the hunt, Joe. I think it's a safe bet to say there will be a Quebec racer in contention for the championship on that last day, and it's going to be insane. I love it. I love the thought of going to Quebec. They're rabid racing fans.
Guess who I just talked to before the show started?
Who?
Phil. Phil Fowler out in Newfoundland. Gave me a quick phone call, and I'll tell you what, they're getting amped up out there already for NASCAR to return. That's got to be a special joint for you guys. I was watching. I was in Saskatoon doing an RS1 race that morning. I had on my NASCAR Canada and watching the live stream for the first ever broadcast from out there. You guys had a gas. I know weather was a problem the first time around, but it was no problem the day I seen it there. You guys had a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a blast. Getting to call races with Clinton Jeffrey, Mike James out there does a phenomenal job. So, that Joe, that's what it's all about. It's having fun, but conveying the fact that it's such a good time, right? That's the job we do. Otherwise, it's just words falling out of our mouth. But you've got to do it with an amount of energy and passion and excitement that make people get more excited than they would otherwise.
Yeah, and they get amped up, no doubt. Race Rivals, let's touch on that. You guys, Tuesday night, right?
Yeah, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock on GeForce TV. Thanks for the opportunity to plug that. But Clinton Jeffrey, my second wife, we've been going at it for 25 years. So,
well, I've been waiting for the divorce. Listening to the two of you guys, sounds like you're ready to kill one another at times.
We've had our moments, but how boring would it be for two people to just agree for an hour every week? And I don't know that brings a lot to the table. The greatest thing about working with Clinton Jeffrey is we each bring something different. And one of those things that are most different is our outlook. Like we don't often have to search hard for something we can disagree on.
Yeah, I've seen it multiple times, but it's too cool. Adam Ross, this has been great catching up with you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. The fans love it. We love it. And can't wait for that first race of the year. CTMP, what a place. I love when that series starts up at CTMP. I was so excited to see that be race number one again. It's going to be a special Victoria Fest.
Special is the way to put it. Gentlemen, thanks for having me on. It was great talking to you. And it's an honor to be included in what you're doing tonight.
Hey, it's all you, bud. Have a good one, and thanks so much, Adam. Adam Ross, everybody. Jimmy, you've worked with Adam. He's a true professional.
He is so, and I don't know how he does it. They'll do a race at Oswegan on Friday night. They'll be in, Trois-Rivières Saturday night, and have a race somewhere else on Sunday. Just and back for their show on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
And besides, he's got a day job, too.
Oh, so. Well, yeah, and they're dragging butt, I'll tell you. They got to be at different times throughout the course of the year. I asked him about calling a kart race. Probably the dumbest question that I've asked, because when would he have time? Yeah. I don't think he's got a day off in the summer that he isn't calling a race somewhere.
No, they're very busy, and they're if they're not in an airport, they're in a car traveling, 100 miles to the track after that. So,
yeah, absolutely. We're going to hit our final break of the show. Rocky Horn coming up on the other side all the way out in BC. This is going to be fun. Stick around. Rocky coming up next.
Hey, race fans, Tim Colton, the driver of the number 3 Monte Carlo. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by GSR Parts, sprint car specialists with chassis, engines for dirt or asphalt cars. From wings to springs, GSR's got you covered. Contact Terry and start winning today. Also by Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter. So, how's that rebuild going? Have you got that race car ready to go yet? You still looking for parts? Have you called GSR Parts yet? You want to save some money, right? So you can buy the stuff you need throughout the course of the year. GSR Parts carries all the big name brands, along with some parts that are manufactured right on site. Centrally located in Ontario, you can stop by and pick up the parts you need, or they'll ship them nationwide. Whether you race dirt or asphalt, they even carry parts for road course cars. Give Jerry Baker a shout, 226-583-8001. And keep an eye on GSR Parts Facebook page.
Explore the musical world of an American rock and roll troubadour on his very own channel,
Tom Petty Radio.
All of Tom's music,
influences,
collaborations.
This is Tom Petty here on The Buried Treasure Show.
Heartbreakers hosted shows.
Check out my show, The Breakdown with Mike Campbell.
And more.
Breakdown's all right.
It's Tom Petty Radio.
Channel 31.
It's all right.
And in the SXM app, included with all trials and popular plans.
For over 30 years, Quick Fire Starters have fueled this sport on and off the track, making lighting your campfire as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's no need for kindling or paper. Just pop your Quick Fire Starter in the pit, add your wood, and presto, you're a pro. Quick Fire Starters. No harmful chemicals, and guaranteed to light your fire every time. Quick Fire Starters, the world's best fire starter.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, Port Hawkesbury, New Glasgow, and Antigonish, Nova Scotia.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everyone, all live tonight on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks, the home of Racetime Radio, each and every Sunday night from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. You can count on Racetime Radio right here on this channel as well. Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, Rev TV Canada is where you're going to want to be. Rev TV, you want to talk about a diverse motorsports view, 24/7. Rev TV Canada has you covered from short track to you name it. It's all on Rev TV Canada. Get your subscription today. Jim, this has been a lot of fun. I've loved talking to the different voices. You, just amazing.
It's been great. And we've had, you know, such a range of voices here today, talking with Adam, Ron Sinclair, Tim Terry, Jerry. What a great group.
Yeah. And we're going to continue the discussion right now all the way out in British Columbia. This guy rocks him. His name, Rocky Horn. What's going on tonight, Mr. Horn? How are you? Woo, I'm not getting no audio. You must be muted, Ron, or Rocky. You must be muted. You're going to turn on. Look at, I see the brains of the operation popping in here now. And, well,
there, we go. How's that?
There you go. That works even better. See, that's what happens with the announcer when you got to turn the microphone on. How you doing, Rocky?
Now, you said that your wife did the production for you on your side. So, and I told you, and we messaged back and forth, that I had no idea how to Zoom. So, yeah, we're out on the left coast of Canada here on Vancouver Island, and I live in a city called Sioux, British Columbia. It's been great listening to all you guys so far. Unfortunately, I don't have the past history and the polish that those other guys do. I'm just kind of a regional guy here sticking on Vancouver Island. But, boy, I'm really really happy to be on here with you, Joe.
Rocky, you've got a lot of fans, I can tell you that, from the Facebook post that I put out. There's a lot of Rocky fans out there. You have created race fans, and really that's the job of the announcer job. Well done, my friend.
Well, you know, when I first started, I took over from a guy named Reg Midgley, who was a long-tenured announcer and part owner of Western Speedway in Victoria back in the day there. And his advice to me was, you know a lot about cars because I was from the car industry. And you know a lot about engines. So talk about those things and teach people all the different aspects of racing, and you'll just do fine. And I always got along good with people. But, you know, unlike these other guys, I had no intention ever of being an announcer. I wanted to be a race car driver.
Did you? That's normally where it starts, right? And then all of a sudden, fate has a way of planting us where we need to be at the time we need to be there. And Rocky, you have announced at a lot of different racetracks out there on both sides of the border, right? Do you slide across and help the guys down south at all?
Not a lot. I went to South Sound Speedway when Butch Benn, the current owner, moved from Victoria to Rochester, Washington. So I went down and did a race or two for him. Actually, I wasn't supposed to do it. He just told his announcer to move over and let the kids sit down. So I did that. I did a little brief run there at Seattle International Raceway. I got to jump on the microphone and do some drag racing there. But, you know, most of the time it's been all on Vancouver Island here. I went to Penticton last year and did the Northern Sprint Tour race there. So I really enjoyed it. And it was a beautiful speedway. But, you know, my tenure brought me to Saratoga Motorsports Park in the beautiful Comox Valley. So, you know, after a long tenure at Western Speedway from the early 80s up to 2014, you know, I'd had just about enough then. And luckily, you know, I'm Cole Sorensen.
Yeah.
He came on years old, and I had him follow me around for a year, so I could pass the torch on to him because he had the passion at that time. I didn't. I figured that, you know, I've been there for almost 32 years. People get bored to hear you, and I was running out of stuff to say. You know, you can only be so, funny so many times. And then Rob Layton, the current owner of Saratoga Motorsports Park, and the general manager, Pat Monsignor, who you have had on your program before, called me up after they were encouraged to by a guy named Bart Smith, who races up at that facility, to come up and talk to them. And, you know, I was like, you know, you guys dug into the grave and pulled the old dead guy out again after 7 years. And, you know, here I am, you know, 4 years later, I'm going to give it another kick at the cat, albeit not full time. I won't be full time like I was last year. And I'll be part-time again this year. But the first 2 years after COVID, which were really tough for Vancouver Island racers, and probably for you guys back there too, the whole world has changed since COVID. And, you know, you got to build up the people to come out to the races and try and get new fans, which is extremely hard to do. And especially for us, since 2022, when Western Speedway close their doors. And although being only, you know, 3 hours away from the Langford area where that is, and I'm about a little over 3 hours away from the track now, so, you know, to get things back up and going again has been tough for us. But it was a great thing for me because I got to be around a whole volume of people that I've never met and racers that I never met before. So it was a lot of fun. All the things I learned at Western over the years, you know, I brought along with me, and I always love the fans. I like to get involved with the fans and teach them how racing and the cars work.
That's cool. That's cool. And this year as a part-time gig, the cool part is, Rocky, you're going to bring the next crew, the next Cole Sorensen. You're going to be able to introduce them to the sport and teach them the craft of interacting with those race fans and the information that is real good stuff. You need more of this and less of that. You need some humor in there. Like Jim Irvin that we've got on the show here in the studio. Jim is not only a professional broadcaster, he's also a historian for this sport. He has probably forgot more than I'll ever know when it comes time for short track racing. And that's the kind of stuff that you guys, you bring to the table, and fans would eat that up.
Yeah, I share the announcing duties with a guy named Doug Waller, who did the Westcar series around Quesnel, I can't remember, Williams Lake, and around that area of British Columbia. So he was a retired school teacher, and he came, and he was a couple of years before me at Saratoga.
Right, right. A couple of years.
And he's a photographer. So.
Oh, really?
My goal is to put it out there to our fans this year to see if we can get some more people involved. We have one of our racers who just started racing last year. He hangs around with a guy who's a DJ, you know, I don't know, like DJ. You and I don't know DJs like they do today, Joe. I mean, we're a little bit more seasoned, you know, than these kids are. You know, they spin the, I don't know what the heck it is.
Well, they don't even play the whole record, right? They only pick away
at
it.
Vinyl. Yeah, we're going to see, the guy's name's Tyler Farrell. So we're hoping to get Tyler out and see if he can do some stuff with us this year. But, you know, we have a fantastic facility out there. I call it the Racing Oasis in the beautiful Comox Valley.
Yeah, you got to love it.
Rocky, is there anybody, is there an announcer out there that you have patterned yourself off of or you look up to?
I think, you know, because I grew up in the 70s around Western Speedway. I got an involvement with my brother's 12 years older than I am. So in the mid-70s, he was a crew member for a guy named Neil Montgomery. And that's actually his shirt that I'm wearing in the picture that you guys provided today. So that was pretty interesting. So I got to meet, you know, Neil Montgomery, and they were, you know, lived right by our house. So I got to hang out with those guys and, you know, kind of parlayed into a whole pile of different things. And next thing you know, I'm at the Speedway and I'm enjoying Reg Midgley, who wound up being my brother-in-law's uncle. So it was kind of almost a family affair deal there. And, you know, I got to listen to Reg during the 70s and then the early 80s. You know, when I was old enough, he walked past me one night on the way up the stairs and he goes, here's the cordless mic. Do you want to do some cordless mic stuff for me? So I was just totally stunned, and I had no idea what to do. But I became, the kids laugh about it all the time, is that I was called the Totem Travel Payless Gas Raceo Bingo Man. I used to do bingo during breaks in the action at the Speedway and give away prizes. So funny stuff is I work at an engine shop, I run an engine shop, and a young kid came in and I asked his name. And I was writing it down, and I stopped, and I looked up at him, and I said, hey, you remember sitting on my knee when you were a little kid at the races?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I do. I thought it was you when I heard your name to come here. You know, everybody said to come and see Rocky at the end of the shop here. And he goes, yeah, I'm surprised it was you. And it was a great connection. And a pretty special moment. I really enjoyed that. And those are the things that I enjoy the most about racing. I got to tell you that over the years, you know, the people that you meet, you connect with, and they become, they call it your racing family. Mm-hmm. But some of those also become your chosen family. And I'm fortunate enough to have more nieces and nephews than you can shake a stick at.
That's too cool. And racing is a big family. I know from being out in BC for the amount of time that I've spent out there at Penticton Speedway with the Western Rattler 300 and the RS1 Cup races that we were doing, Cole and I working together, and it is a family. I look at the BC area, and I know it's a big province, but I'll tell you, it feels mighty small when you're out there, because it didn't matter who I was talking to, it was like I've known them forever.
Yeah, people are you know, pretty forthcoming, and they take on new people and, you know, share their passion and love for the sport. You know, I'm glad you got a chance to meet Cole. He had a real passion for becoming an announcer, and, you know, he's done a great job. And when I looked at the promoter, Darryl Midgley, at the time when I was going to leave, one night I walked over into the VIP booth and I said to Darryl, I'm leaving at the end of the year. And he was stunned. He's like, what?
Yeah, no,
what,
you're
what
not.
What are we going to do? He said, I was like, Cole's going to do it. He's like, the kid's 15 years old, Rock. I said, no, he's not. He's 14. I said, he'd be 15 next year. And one of the things that at the end of the season, they did a goodbye and they gave me a watch and stuff like that. And I told the people that, you know, we would have had Cole a year earlier and I would have quit a year earlier, but he had a 9:30 bedtime, so he couldn't do the races for us. So,
couldn't stay up past the lights going on, right?
Cole loves that story too. And now, you know, look, I think of, you know, how you propelled him along in his life. He went to Czech TV in the sports program here on our local television network. And now he's out at Radtork Raceway in Edmonton, starting a whole new venture there. You know, I got to listen to him at the Sprint Car Showdown in Las Vegas. So, you know, that's a lot of fun for me. You get to pass on things to somebody else and let them share your passion. It's just like being a coach in sports. I still talk to kids I coach today, and, you know, they say they got their love of the game from me. So that's kind of what you want in this deal. It's what you want to do as an announcer. And, you know, you get paid to watch stuff that you like anyways. So
you leave an impression. That's the way to do it.
Are you still are you still a fan of racing today?
Oh, I am 100%. You know, when I left Western Speedway after the 2014 season, I kind of pushed myself away and stayed away from it because, you know, I was kind of worn out. It was like a punch drunk fighter. You know, I'd had about enough. And then one of my buddies who had retired, Kurt Rompain, he decided that he was going to race again. So I went out with him and his family and, you know, we got involved in that. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm back on the mic. But, you know, if it wasn't for people like them to rekindle my passion in the sport, then, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And then, you know, guys that I grew up with, you know, Jeff Montgomery is going into the Victoria Auto Racing Hall of Fame this year. He's a NSRA champion, a WOROC champion. He's one of the best drivers in the Northwest in an asphalt sprint car, and he still is today. I used to babysit the guy. So, yeah, you know, you look at stuff like that, and, you know, guys like Aaron Willison from British Columbia.
$50,000 Aaron Willison. My
brother-in-law is his partner, the same brother-in-law that is Reg Midgley's nephew.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get into a triangle with all these people, you know, and over the years, I like hanging nicknames on people. You know, we call Aaron Willison the Asphalt Assassin over here, and people enjoy that. You know, I see guys that get tattoos with nicknames I've given them over the years, or you see the stuff on their t-shirts that they put on there. So that's a connection that you have. And you're always going to enjoy that. So for the rest of my life, I'm going to remember everybody I met in racing, which isn't my favorite sport. Baseball is my favorite sport, but I met more better people in racing than I ever did in baseball in my whole life. So we're pretty lucky. You, myself, Jim, all the other guys that we had on here today. That's a connection that, you know, you share for a lifetime. And when I handed the reins over to Cole when I left Western Speedway, I said, you deserve to have the things that I have, to meet the people that I did, to have the effect that they have on you and the effect that you can have on them. So as an announcer, you couldn't ask for anything better than that, is to have people talk to you, talk about you 30 years later or something. Or it was a big honor when you reached out to me the other day to see if I would come on. I was like, what do you want me for, man? I'm a regional guy on Vancouver Island, you know?
But it's, we are all together in this sport. It's called Short Track Racing Canada, and we are one, I can guarantee you. Rocky, I surely appreciate the time. I know the viewers and the listeners of Racetime Radio, you've left an impression once again, my friend, and we'll get you back on throughout the course of the year after you've done some announcing, and we'll find out how the night went. How does that sound?
Well, thank you, and thank you to everybody who has supported me for 40 years, basically. So thank you very much to you both. You guys do a great job and keeping racing alive in Canada, and it goes through Canada and the United States. So it's been a pleasure to be on with you. Thank you, and good to meet you both.
You bet. That's Rocky Horn, Dynamite Guy, leaves an impression, right? That's what announcers do. good announcers will leave an impression for a long time. And all of our guests tonight and all these names that I got on this piece of paper that I'm going to start rattling off here shortly all deserve to be on the program. The thing is, SiriusXM only gives me 2 hours, and that's all. So we got 2 hours a week, and that's it.
This 2 hours has just flown by, like just
boom,
wow.
Gone, yeah. I want to mention Mr. Bailey. You worked with Dan Bailey, right?
Dan Bailey Sr., yes, the auctioneer.
Yeah. Yep. I
owe him, Dan, a lot. I had problems. I had a couple of throat operations,
mm-hmm.
and I was one Sunday afternoon, had to call the races again that night, and I had no voice.
Yeah.
He says, you know, what the heck are you doing drinking that pop?
Right,
you know?
Right.
So he says, you should be drinking water. He says, go into town and get some honey.
Yeah. Is that why you use honey?
Yes.
Isn't that? In the announcer's room at Sauvel, there was always this, you know, the little honey bottle, the bee-shaped thing. It was, I often wonder, what's that doing up in there? And on a Saturday night, I seen you hitting on honey. And I'll tell you, after I had my deal with my throat, we were out in Riverside. Were we at Riverside or Scotia? One or the other. And I was really struggling. It was after all my cancer treatments and everything. And Jerry Paxton, he said, why don't you do what Jim Irvin does? Hit some honey in there. And you know what? I did, and I went into the little breakfast bar. I got one of those little squares of honey. It saved me that night.
Yeah, it works. And if it wasn't for honey, there's many a Saturday nights that would not get through.
Yeah, just amazing. Jim, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming all the way here to the Racetime Radio studio and being with me here tonight. You've made this a special night for not only me, but for everyone, and your dedication, your passion, and as is true with all of our guests, just amazing. And I know I look forward to getting back to the beach and hearing you call another Nights of Racing along with Dave Middleton and the words, and I'll never forget them. You're the only racetrack that I've ever heard it, and it's your closing line each and every night. Say it.
Well,
yeah. Every
night. Don't forget, race fans, there's no checkered flag waiting for you at the other end. Do drive carefully. We want to see you back here next week for Racetime Radio.
There you go. Right there. Okay. Just amazing, Jim Irvin. You are one treasure. And I look forward. Hey, you know where we live, man. You can come back here anytime and jump on.
It's been a pleasure being here with you and Susie tonight and Wilbur. Just a great time. I appreciate it, Joe. I've watched Racetime Radio listened to it since it started.
Cool.
And you do a great job, and the show has come a long, long way.
Well, much appreciated, my friend. It all happens for a reason, and that reason is you people out there, race fans, race teams, all of us together. It's one big family. Doesn't matter where you go. I get to a racetrack this summer. If you've never been to a race, be careful. You go once, you're going to want to go all the time. And I can't think of a sport that is like short track racing like we have up here in Canada. Of course, it happens in the U.S. tons as well, right? We want to congratulate Cole Butcher on the win. He won the Sunshine 200 at Five Flag Speedway, the ASA Tour. Hope I didn't just destroy it for you. Cole Butcher won it. I'm sure we'll get him on the show here probably next week. We'll have to check in with Kyle Steckley, too, and find out what happened, and Joe Lawrence. But that's going to do it for us tonight here at Racetime Radio. Got to thank Susie Q here. Got to thank all of our guests. Got to thank you, SiriusXM, RevTV, and, of course, the Performance MotorsportNetwork.com that you can catch Racetime Radio a number of times throughout the course of the week. But that is going to do it for us. Be safe, everybody, and we'll catch you next Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, all live on Racetime Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 167, Canada Talks.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.